Over the past few decades, I think our meals have become supersized, and even portions at home are larger than they used to be. And if you add in a more sedentary lifestyle for many of us, it's not a big surprise that so many of us are heavier than ever before. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Sadly, that means that many of us are suffering from a whole range of health issues as a result. It can mean a lower quality of life and shorter lifespan. And our guest is going to address that with us today in part. Dr. Michael Guerin is a medical director of the UW Health Medical and Surgical Weight Management Program. His clinical specialties include minimally invasive bariatric surgery. And Dr. Guerin, thanks for joining us again. I really appreciate it.
You bet. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I'm really interested in this minimally invasive bariatric surgery. But first, how big a problem is obesity in this country?
It's a tremendous problem, and not just as a surgeon, but as a physician. The majority of patient problems we see in some way, shape, or form have some relationship to the obesity epidemic.
Yeah, I would bet. What are the preferred options, obviously, to lose weight? It's not dieting.
Well, I think you have to there's no simple answer, let me put it that way, because there are people that are 20, 30, 40 pounds overweight that certainly would have improved health, improved quality of life by losing a modest amount of weight. The people that I deal with are the people with what we call morbid obesity or clinically severe obesity. These are the people that are at least 100 pounds over their ideal body weight. These are people that have multiple serious medical problems like high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, sleep apnea, and really a difficult quality of life. That group of people, we know from experience, are traditional means of weight loss, dieting, counseling, perhaps medications, in large measure are ineffective in that group.
Yeah, just don't work. And so bariatric surgery is an option. What exactly is bariatric surgery?
So bariatric surgery is a subset of surgical procedures that we do, and there are different types of surgeries that we offer to people to help them safely and durably lose a tremendous amount of weight. So what makes it different from the diet is, number one, the amount of weight that people can lose. They can lose well over 100 pounds with this type of intervention, and the durability. I talk to people all the time about their dieting habits, and everybody that comes to see me has dieted. They've probably lost a significant amount of weight, but then what happens is that they gain it back again.
Yeah, and that's really too bad. And before I ask another question, I want to give our listeners a chance to join in with their questions. You may have a question about bariatric surgery or maybe an experience to share. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show, and you can post your questions or comments there. We'd certainly love to hear from you. So bariatric surgery, then, what happens with it?
So in essence, what we do is we give the patient a tool to allow them to lose a tremendous amount of weight and keep it off. And we do it by a variety of means. In most of the procedures that we do, we alter the anatomy of the stomach to a degree, usually making it smaller such that the person having had the surgery can only take in a very small amount of food at a given time. In some cases, there are also downstream effects which limit how much of the caloric intake is actually absorbed into the bloodstream. In essence, we severely limit the number of calories that are taken in at a given time.
So who's a candidate for that then?
So the most important thing to realize is that not everyone is a candidate for this. This is a fairly dramatic intervention. So from a physiologic standpoint, we use criteria that were forwarded by the National Institute of Health in 1991. In large measure, we go by this measure called the body mass index. Anybody with a body mass index of greater than 40, or those with a BMI of greater than 35 with a major medical problem, diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, things like that, would be at least candidates for bariatric surgery. This person needs to be highly motivated to improve their health. This is not cosmetic surgery in any way, shape, or form. This is a medical intervention for a severe medical problem. They need to be motivated. They need to be willing to make some fairly dramatic behavioral changes for the rest of their life in order to be successful with this.
So behavioral changes. First, is insurance, does insurance come into play here?
Insurance very much comes into play. There are certain areas of the state, for instance, in Dane County, where insurance coverage is rather poor for bariatric surgery. That being said, Medicare, Medicaid, most indemnity-type insurance does cover bariatric surgery.
We have callers online to visit with you, and we'll get to those calls in just a minute. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. Yeah, I think for some people, the sort of this weight loss surgery is appealing because it seems like a quick fix for something they've probably been dealing with for years. But that's, from the sound of it, that's wishful thinking.
That's very much wishful thinking. And I actually tell my prospective patients that this is not the quick fix. And in fact, if they look at it as the quick fix, that may, in fact, make them not a great candidate for bariatric surgery. The people that come to see me, number one, are at some level desperate. They're desperate to improve their health, to improve their quality of life. The typical patient that comes to see me has considered bariatric surgery for about 2 years, even before making that step of coming to see me. So it is not a quick fix, and this is clearly not the easy way out. There are a lot of misconceptions out there that if these folks just ate less and exercised a little bit more, they wouldn't be in the position they're in. That's the furthest thing from the truth. To go through this, number one, they go through the risk of surgery, mm-hmm. which is very acceptable, but also, as I mentioned, have to make some lifelong behavioral changes. It's not the easy way out.
And I want to talk about some of those behavioral changes, but Lenny in Waterloo, Iowa, is on with a comment. Lenny, hi, thank you for calling.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I had the Roux-en-Y 14 years ago in Minneapolis, and I kept my weight off. I went from a size 28 down to a size 4, but I went from 340 pounds down to 115, and I had to regain up to 130. Or I regained 15 pounds because I was just down too low. But this is not a quick fix. You know, my friends told me it would be, and it's not. You have to be mentally prepared. You have to know that this is a lifestyle change, not just losing weight. I kept the weight off because I've been dedicated, and I've not had any sugar. I made my doctor, my surgeon, a promise I would never have any candy. I would never have any ice cream. I would not have pop. I would never go back to my old habits. And that's what I mean. You have to be mentally prepared for this and ready for it. My health has improved tremendously. It was the best thing for me. I was a nurse, and I researched so much about, you know, who's the best doctor in Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois. And I was ready to go to the best surgeon, and I researched the risks. And it's just, I have so many friends that regained their weight because they were not, you know, they started with little candy bars and then they graduated to bigger ones and they regained over 100 pounds.
Well, that's too bad. And so this behavioral change, I mean, she's describing some of it, but Dr. Guerin, talk about more about that.
Well, so the typical patient that comes in to see us, getting to some of Lenny's comments, goes through a fairly extensive evaluation preoperatively. And the key to long-term success of bariatric surgery is long-term follow-up, particularly within a multidisciplinary program. So our patients meet with a nutritionist and a health psychologist that are dedicated to the care of the bariatric surgery patient. And we look for a variety of things even before surgery to see if they're able to make the changes necessary. So, for instance, in our program, we ask them to stop drinking carbonated beverages before surgery to demonstrate that they can do it and demonstrate the importance of that, to make more proper food choices, to avoid the junk food, to start preparing meals at home with fresh fruits and vegetables, and to start exercise programs if they can. Some can't because of bad joints and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we try to get them an idea of what the lifestyle needs to be before going to the operating room. Because in our mind, that gives us some prediction as to how they will do afterwards. But then the key, the absolute key, is long-term follow-up with a supportive program, multidisciplinary program.
Wow. So you have to... So once you're done, you're coming... These people are coming back to you.
Absolutely.
Your staff. And is it for pep talks? Is it for... what?
Well, there certainly are some pep talks involved. And to Lenny's point, I tell my patients probably the least important part of the bariatric surgery program is the bariatric surgeon. You know, people mm-hmm. clearly want to know who's holding onto the scalpel and doing the work. But in my view, the team, the nutritionists, the health psychologists, the nurses, the PAs, the NPs that provide the long-term support are by far the most important part of the program. And they're the ones that are dealing with the day-to-day pep talks and mm-hmm. following up on nutritional status and so forth with the patients.
So I think there was some thought out there, or some maybe I must be incorrect thinking if I'm listening to what Lenny had to say and what you're getting at, that once you have this surgery, then you're not going to ever gain that all that way back.
No, and the point being, if you don't maintain the behaviors that you learn around the time of surgery, it is certainly possible to gain the weight back. Probably 15 to 20% of people do regain significant amount of weight at some point in time postoperatively. And again, what we have recognized is the importance of that long-term follow-up. I use the analogy of the patient that has some sort of organ transplant. Mm-hmm. Once a transplant patient, always a transplant patient. I feel the same way about a bariatric surgery patient.
Yeah. Lenny, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. I want to give Tim and Eau Claire an opportunity to ask a question. Hi, Tim. Thank you for calling.
No problem. My question for you is, how much BMI is really a measure of anything? Because I am 5'10". When I graduated high school, I was 205 pounds-ish. I don't think I had any visible fat on me. You know, had, you know, nice six-pack abs and looked and felt great, rode my bike all over town. Now I'm, you know, 10, 11 years later, and I'm 45 pounds heavier. I went to see a doctor, and he told me that I was 90 pounds overweight.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. And in getting to this measure of BMI, it is a very crude...
And that's body mass index.
Body mass index is a very crude, I would call it a screening tool, which takes into account an individual's height and weight. It does not take into account body composition. A bodybuilder would have an abnormally high BMI and would be considered obese in many situations. And obviously the meaning of that is very different than in somebody that has a BMI of 41 with diabetes and so forth. So it is a crude measure, but it is an important screening tool. And I think it's one of those things that should be measured at every doctor visit and should be conveyed to the patient in the context of the patient's health.
Yeah.
In terms of how many pounds overweight somebody is, that's also kind of a faulty measure, in so much it's based on this thing called ideal body weight. And we really do not know what ideal body weight is. Most of the tables that are used nowadays are from studies done in the 1950s and 60s and are clearly obsolete. So any measure of weightedness has to take into account the patient's level of fitness, their medical conditions, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate your call very much. Talking today with Dr. Michael Guerin, Medical Director of the UW Health Medical and Surgical Weight Management Program, visiting with him today about bariatric surgery. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. We'll get to Melissa in just a minute, but just a reminder, I'm Larry Mueller. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hope you'll stay with us, because at 11:45 today, the weather guys come by to talk about the severe weather we've been experiencing and what California's drought might mean for our summer forecast. Right now, though, we're learning about a bariatric surgery from Dr. Michael Guerin. Join in with your questions, comments, or experiences at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page, at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Melissa in Eau Claire, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I actually have a comment and a question. My comment would be back in 2003, I did have the Roux-en-Y procedure. It was very, it was a tremendous experience. You know, I have an enormous scar on my stomach. People think that's the easy way out for overweight people to, you know, being able to control their weight. It was really one of the hardest things I ever did in my life, you know, making those different changes. Also, I think with, you know, technology and medical field progressing, that hopefully it is less invasive than it was back then, but the follow-up care is really the important part. The surgery, that's, you know, that's really the smallest part of the whole spectrum, I would say. I, you know, back then we were kind of given the surgery and then, okay, hey, you're on your own. And I think that's in part why I've gained, you know, I have gained about 100 pounds back, because they didn't give us the information that we need to succeed back then. So I think now with, you know, like the progression, like I said, things are getting better, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But my question was, there were also side effects that I wasn't expecting. I had, hair loss. Quite a bit of hair loss. My teeth deteriorated quite extensively. Are you seeing side effects like that still? And, or are they getting better with the, you know, like I said, with better medical care or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a great question. And I think it points out a very important fact in that what I would call modern day bariatric surgery, you know, perhaps starting in 2000 or so, is very different than the former decades of this. There's much more science behind it now. And as I've mentioned, much more emphasis on multidisciplinary care. The days of having your surgery and losing a few pounds postoperatively, being congratulated and sent out on your own are long gone. Now, the point being that there are complications that can arise, but what we know is that those complications can be minimized and certainly treated if somebody is in the context of a multidisciplinary program. So the hair loss, it's fairly typical to see some hair loss for 3 or 4 months after surgery, but if you're doing the right things, it'll stop and the hair will grow back. The need for ongoing supplementation is very, very important. There's kind of a handful of vitamins that our patients have to take every day for the rest of their life. The thing I would point out to you is that you still have the tool on the inside. So if you can hook yourself up with a multidisciplinary program, there is a very high likelihood that you can get off some of that weight that you put back on because the tool is still there.
Right, and that's what I wanted to ask you is, I did go back and have some testing done, you know, with the barium and the x-rays and whatnot, and it did say that the initial pouch is still intact. It's, you know, 2 inches by 3 inches. However, the problem that has occurred with my surgery is the opening that goes into your intestines has gotten larger.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, it's almost, you know, you can put extra room there, you know, and that's basically right. Why I've been getting, you know, gaining the weight back. Would that be worth it for me to go back in and see if that can be repaired or fixed?
It's certainly something that could be looked at. In situations like that, we always start with kind of regrounding the patient in the basic, what I call mm-hmm. bariatric behaviors, because sometimes just by doing that, additional surgery would not be necessary. And obviously that'd be
the ideal, yeah.
Right, right.
So go back and...
Yep, hook up with a good multidisciplinary program. There are plenty of them throughout the state, and, mm-hmm. and they can help you out.
I bet you're from Eau Claire, Melissa. There's got to be one in Eau Claire.
They're certainly nearby. Eau Claire, Wausau, Marshfield, La Crosse have great programs.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You bet. Yeah,
thanks a lot for calling. Karen on Facebook said, I'm an infusion pharmacist who regularly sees poor outcomes of bariatric surgery, and you know, a third of my long-term patients, nutritionally, there are nutritional issues with mm-hmm. absorbing to keep them healthy. And she says, I end up feeding some of them intravenously. I would not recommend it.
Yeah, and it's exceedingly rare for that to happen. And again, within the context of a established bariatric surgery program, the likelihood of that type of thing happening is incredibly small. but they do need to be followed. This is not a simple, riskless intervention. This is big deal surgery, and it needs to be taken seriously. There's no doubt about it.
You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions, comments, or maybe your experiences. Marcia in Wisconsin Dells, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. My question, I have kind of a two-part question is, the first question is, I'd like the doctor's opinion on the weight loss medications that are out there. And two, I'm insured with a different insurance company that has their own bariatric program, but the tier of insurance that I have through them doesn't cover that, doesn't cover any weight loss, nothing. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question is why not? Because this would help so many people with the hypertension and the diabetes that it would be very cost-effective, mm-hmm. instead of long-term costs with diabetes and hypertension and all the other heart disease that follows that. Why aren't insurance companies on board with this?
That's such a great question. First off, my opinion about weight loss medications are there may be a role in select patients, probably not the patients that need to lose more than 100 pounds. What we know about weight loss medications is that oftentimes their use is limited by side effects, be it diarrhea or that type of thing, and the effect only lasts as long as you're taking the medication. So once you stop it, the weight would tend to come back on. It may play a role, and I will say some of the newer drugs coming out on the market, which are based on research largely evolving from the bariatric surgery realm, are promising. The insurance thing is one of those things where, in my opinion, there is no real justification for not covering this procedure. Medicare covers it. Medicaid covers it. Medicare looked at this extensively. There is a mountain of evidence showing the effectiveness, the safety, the durability of bariatric surgery. The evidence used to be observational, and now we have what we call level one, prospective randomized trials, showing that a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass is a better treatment, for example, for diabetes than is what we're doing for diabetes right now, treating with medications and insulin. So in my view, there is no justification for non-coverage. I do believe that obesity is one of the last socially acceptable realms of discrimination in this country. And whether or not this is related to that, I'll leave that to people's judgment.
Mm.
I totally agree.
Thank you,
totally.
Marcia.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate the call very much. Sometimes you wonder about insurance. This is a total aside, but I had a friend who had a tree that was dead, essentially, and was leaning over the neighbor's fence and shed, and he asked the insurance company about covering, you know, the elimination of the tree before it fell down. They said, well, no, you have to wait till it falls down. So he said, waited, it fell down, knocked the fence down, and knocked the big hole in the roof of the shed, and they wound up paying a whole lot more money than they would have paid.
Absolutely. And I will say that bariatric surgery is one of very few areas in medicine where it has actually been subjected to return on investment studies.
Oh.
And you do get a return on investment on this, and it may be as little as 2 years for a diabetic patient.
Wow.
And I always say to the insurance gurus, what is the return on investment on a cardiac bypass or a hip replacement or spine surgery? They don't have that data because it's not subjected to it.
Keith in Green Bay, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning. My wife had the vertical banded gastroplasty at University Hospital in Madison when it was Dr. Yale was first pioneering the procedures back about 27 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She had a very good outcome. She lost about 130 pounds and was able to keep that weight off for quite a long time. Eventually, she did started developing scar tissue around the opening because they were they weren't variable like they are today. They were more rigid.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually she did have to have a revision because she had gained about 40 or 50 pounds. She had the revision. She lost the weight again. And for her, it was a very good outcome. You know, even though it took her a couple of years to really learn how to eat properly and to get the proper nutrition to deal with some of the problems that your previous callers had talked about.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Dr. Yale was an icon. I trained under Dr. Yale at the UW, and he operated on thousands of patients.
You might have been one of the interns. You might have been one of the interns that came in.
It's quite possible. It was a while ago.
There you go. Well, now we're mentioning different names, like with Vertical Bandit and Ruin Y. Ruin Y's come up.
Sure.
And Ruin Y, by the way, I believe is spelled R-O-U-X hyphen E-N hyphen the capital Y. So it's...
It's the only French that I speak.
Ruin Y.
Exactly. So there are several different procedures that we can offer depending on a patient's situation and preferences. The most common procedure is, over the past number of years, has been the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass. Most people refer to it as the gastric bypass. There's also another procedure called the vertical sleeve gastrectomy, where we basically remove about 80% of the stomach, creating a very narrow tube. There's the adjustable gastric band. The vertical banded gastroplasty that was mentioned by Keith is actually an older procedure that really isn't done much anymore because we feel like the procedures, the modern-day procedures, are superior on a number of different situations.
Yeah, there we go. And Keith, thanks again.
You're welcome.
Richard in Manitowoc, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me get you off the speakerphone. The question I have... I've worked in the Rio Grande Valley, which is generally a Hispanic population. I've worked in pediatrics in the field of physical therapy, and actually I do traveling physical therapy in five different states. But down in the valley, Rio Grande Valley area, obesity is a huge problem, especially with young children, and it's part of the culture, or it's part of the, I don't know what it's part of, but it has many variables. But my question is... I married a wonderful, beautiful wife from the area, and because of the eating habits and the culture, she's gaining weight on a regular basis. She'll lose it, and then she'll gain it back. And at this point, I don't see when she's agreed on it, once we have enough money for the surgery, to possibly have the surgery done. My question is, what type of mechanisms could I use to be encouraged, which I try as gently as possible to encourage her to lose weight, to eat right. But as most people, when they're brought with the truth or a situation, they come back with multiple defense mechanisms.
Sure, absolutely. And you know what? I think this is a big problem in the medical field. How do you talk to somebody about their obesity? I think physicians are afraid to bring this up. And the way I tend to pose it, for instance, to medical students, is to try to get the person to understand that their weight does have an impact on their health. Now, I don't know if your wife has any specific medical conditions like diabetes or sleep apnea, but that's one way to focus on the issue. And in our program, and I think most bariatric programs, we really don't focus so much on the weight. We focus on the health, or lack thereof, and quality of life. So I've got patients that come in and say, you know, I want to get rid of my diabetes. I want to get rid of the CPAP machine that I wear at night. But then I also get others that say, I want to get down on my hands and knees and play with my grandkids. Or I want to be able to tie my shoes. You know, basic things like that that impact our quality of life. So, but I also firmly believe that a person cannot be talked into something like bariatric surgery. They have to want it, and they have to want it badly, because if they don't, I question their commitment to maintaining the changes that are necessary. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the issue. Well, good luck, Richard. I appreciate your call. And I'm wondering, actually going along with some of the things you've been talking about, Tamara called and just left a message. What percentage of surgery patients keep off 95% of the weight after 5 years? Do we have any?
Well, so first off, the question of how we define success of bariatric surgery. You can define it by how much excess weight a patient loses. And the average gastric bypass patient will lose 60 to 70% of their excess weight. So if you take the current weight minus that mythical ideal body mm-hmm. weight, that's the excess weight. And the typical patient will lose 60 to 70% of that. About 15 or 20% at 5 years will gain back quote-unquote, significant amount of weight. The vast majority of those would be people that are not following up in a program. The other way to look at it, and the way that I think is far more important, is the impact on their medical conditions. So the resolution of diabetes, which you never see without surgery, you see fairly routinely with surgery and over the long term. Resolution of really life-threatening conditions, diabetes, high blood pressure, sleep apnea, cardiac disease. The incidence and risk of cancer goes down after bariatric surgery, believe it or not, fairly significantly. So there are all kinds of health benefits to this beyond just the weight loss. And in fact, I tell my patients, don't get on the scale. You know, it's important to kind of know where you're at, but I have patients that do it weekly or daily, and that's not what this is about. It's about health and quality of life.
Nick in Green Bay, thank you for calling. Hi.
I was gonna try the surgery, and then last month I got mad. I got sick of being I got sick of being fat. So I started watching what I ate and got more exercise, and I went from 275, 300, and today I weighed myself. I'm down to 255, and the amazing thing is the blood sugar dropped like a rock. It's crazy how the blood sugar dropped. And my question, actually, I got a quick question, actually, is I don't feel any differently losing that much weight. I know the blood sugar's down quite a bit, but when am I going to see a physical difference? I mean, I know I'm asking for a lot, but...
Well, number one, I congratulate you for the success that you've had, and that's fantastic. And it does show the role that weight plays in diabetes. There's no doubt about it. And again, the physical aspect of weight loss is one of those tricky things. You know, as I said at the beginning of this show, this is not cosmetic surgery we're doing. And we know that even people that lose a tremendous amount of weight will have, quote unquote, cosmetic issues. They'll have excess skin and so forth. But it's the health. And people are, I think, are willing to put up with some stuff if they have better health. And Nick's got the kind of classic example and the improvement in his diabetes. I just encourage him to keep at it and get rid of the diabetes once and for all. That would be the goal.
Yep. He said that if I keep losing the weight, that he'll take me off all the medicine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thanks, Nick, and good luck with your exercise and with your program. Rick in Viroqua. Hi.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. Reading a scientific study about how there's a lot of bone loss after the bariatric surgery.
There's certainly that risk, and particularly in women that have gastric bypass surgery, because of alterations in the absorption of calcium and vitamin D, that they are at risk for osteopenia and osteoporosis. So part and parcel of the long-term follow-up, that kind of handful of vitamins I talked about patients taking, includes calcium citrate with vitamin D that they take twice a day for the rest of their life. We also recommend that our female patients do follow up with bone density studies as they, particularly as they approach menopause, because they are at risk for that. Weight loss is beneficial, as is exercise.
We have an email from Ann who said, my sister had the lap band years ago and has since failed, and she's gained back the weight and more. She would like to have bariatric surgery and has been seen by a physician group, but her insurance will not cover the procedure. They claim you can only have one weight loss procedure per lifetime. What choices does she have?
So the adjustable gastric band was a procedure that came in with a lot of fanfare in 2001 when it was approved by the FDA in this country. It had fairly extensive experience in Europe and Australia with some really impressive results. And after 5 or 6 or 7 years of bands being implanted in this country, the results weren't quite as good as they thought they were going to be. And so we do see a significant number of patients that have had adjustable gastric bands that have either not lost sufficient weight or have regained weight. And we do offer them revisional surgery where you take the band out and do a sleeve gastrectomy or gastric bypass. Again, insurance tends to rear its ugly head in this realm because some insurance companies do put fairly marked limitations on the accessibility to this revisional surgery. In terms of what to do, you know, you can always ask your primary care physician to write a letter on your behalf. You know, one of the things, if you have the opportunity to change your insurance, that would be a consideration. It's just a really tough situation.
And here's a really interesting note from Kay on Facebook as well. My husband went on a strict diet for diabetes and lost almost 100 pounds. He didn't look the same anymore, and it was kind of like I'd lost him and someone else was in his place. Is there a support for family to readjust to this new person they're living with?
Yeah, you know, it's a great point that you make, because patients that lose 100 pounds, 200 pounds, they do look different. And, you know, I can't tell you the number of patients that say, oh, my coworkers ask me, do I have cancer or something like that, because they do look different. You know, I think always it's important to focus on the health. You know, I assume that your husband's diabetes is much improved, but there are support networks out there. There are surgical support groups. There are medical weight loss support groups. And I think if you get online and look for some of those, and there are online support groups that can be very helpful as well. Long-term support, be it medical support or emotional support, I think is critical not only for the patients themselves, but their families.
So if people are considering, if there's somebody out there considering this, what's their step? Where do they go?
Step one, I think, is to talk to your primary care physician about it. Ask them if they think it's reasonable for you to even consider this. Start the conversation. Read as much as you possibly can online. There are plenty of books out there. Weight Loss Surgery for Dummies, you know, the yellow and black book is actually a great book that gives a lot of background information and things to think about. Talk to people that have had bariatric surgery, both those that have done well and those that have struggled, because I do think it's important to come into this with a very clear mind as to the fact that this is not the easy way out.
Yeah.
But if you want to improve your health, if you want to improve your quality of life, and you suffer from morbid obesity, this is something that you should at least consider.
Well, Michael, it's a great pleasure to have a chance to talk with you today, and I hope we can have you back and do this again.
I'd be happy to.
Dr. Michael Guerin is medical director of the UW Health Medical and Surgical Weight Management Program. His clinic specialties include minimally invasive bariatric surgery. And you folks have a website or a place to go?
Yeah, if you go to uwhealth.org/either weight loss or bariatric surgery, you can find it there.
All right. I think I'm sure we have a link on my Facebook page as well. So if you wanted to learn a little bit more about the program here at the University of Wisconsin, certainly you can just go to my Facebook page and click on the link that we have to Dr. Guerin's group. Appreciate having him with us today. Science and medicine, always really fascinating to me. And the work of people like Dr. Guerin really, I think, improved the quality of life for all of us. So he and his folks are to be commended. Coming up next, we're going to talk with two other scientists. These guys, they don't work in the medical area. They work in the weather area. Steve Ackerman and John Martin, known as our weather guys, up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.